why do I forget this mic? I be having my sessions, and I don't need my mic in my session, so I move my mic out of the way. But I was saying that sometimes we can be so desperate for love, we end up losing ourselves. Talk about it right after this. Listening to this song, and I'm not gonna name what the song was that I was listening to, but it had reminded me of my value as a woman. And the more I kind of meditated on how the Most High loves me, I realized this man that the Most High had commissioned to love me well was not loving me well. His behavior was so unhealthy that it was causing me to die, my soul to die inside. And I tried to talk to people about what was going on, but because he has made an impression on many that is very charming and loving, what I had to say seemed like a complaint. You know, how could you have this complaint about Eshan? You know, Eshan is everything, and Eshan is this, and Eshan is that, and, you know, you're a lot more firm than he is. You're not as nice as he is. You're not as welcoming and inviting as he is. And so what I was going through seemed to be invalidated by almost everyone that I tried to talk to about what I was going through. And so I didn't know what to do. Those who did not invalidate me based off of the perceived merit of my husband were more like, you need to submit. Like, if you submit better, then that will save your marriage. You can win your husband over if he's behaving the way you claim he is. If, you know, it wasn't like I was believed. But if you love him better by submitting and just letting him lead, then that can save your marriage. So I tried that, but it wasn't working. And I was very miserable because the unhealthy behavior was being validated in my husband, But the healthy behavior I was trying to institute in my marriage was being invalidated because of whatever people perceive that my husband is. And so I was like having nowhere to turn to from a faith-based perspective, because most people were saying it's a submission issue. And so I'm just like, okay, I am being indoctrinated to believe the same thing. So let me try to submit better. Let me just listen to whatever he says. Whatever he says goes. Whatever way he wants to lead, I'll follow. Even if that's harming me, even if it invalidates me, even if it's inconsiderate of me, even if it doesn't include what the Most High has designed me to do, we'll make this all about him and nothing about me. Because this is love. This is selflessness. This is like the Messiah is what I'm being given and being told. Meanwhile, I feel like I'm being crucified in a sense, you know, just emotionally. And I'm like, how is this healthy? How is this okay? How can I follow someone who's leading me into a pit? How can I follow and submit to someone who's leading me away from the Most High? How does that work? I don't know what to do. So I had run out of options of people I could talk to. You know, I'm thinking I'm covering my husband by not telling what's happening to us. And the more that went on, the worse I got. And my only hope was the Most High. So I'm in the bathroom. I'm crying. I don't know what to do. There's nobody who will hear me or listen to me. There's nobody who's encouraging me to love myself through this and care for myself through this. And then Yah. And Yah goes, I want you to stop submitting to your husband the way that you're doing it. I'm sorry. Am I going crazy? I'm sorry. This is my headphones, my lives. I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what? I want you to stop submitting to your husband the way that you are. I said, I gotta be crazy. I gotta be losing my mind. I must be hearing it wrong. So I dismissed it, and I believe that I had just was listening to my flesh, because I'm like, y'all would never say something like that. That doesn't align with the word. The way that I know the word is that whatever Yah tells me has to also agree with what the word says. This ain't an agreement, so you can't be telling me that. So I thought. So a little bit more time passes by. Things get a little worse. I'm on my knees. I like to say petitioning more than praying. Petitioning to the Most High. And I asked him expressly, what do I need to do for this pain, this emotional pain that my husband is causing me to end? And I heard back, leave him. Again, I'm like, this must be my flesh. Because how does leaving him solve this? So I thought maybe I need to leave him temporarily. Like, just let's just take a break, not just like leave him. I'm just like, take a break. So I asked him, can we just take some time apart? I come back and we're dealing with the same thing. So now I'm like, okay, maybe I followed the instructions wrong. What do I do? We have a serious conflict between one another. Excuse me, my children are very loud. I'm doing a live. Can you close the door? Excuse me, y'all. Excuse me, y'all. So, I lost my train of thought because my children just came in and I thought they were going to be outside while I was doing this. So I've lost my train of thought, but I think I was saying I heard leave and I left, but I left the way I wanted to. I didn't leave the way the instruction sounded because I thought I was hearing it wrong. And so we come back together and here we are in the same situation. I'm feeling invalidated. I'm feeling like, you know, whatever he believes is important and whatever he's called to is more important than what I'm called to. And my light is being kind of snuffed out because all of my energy is supposed to go towards him and what he's doing. And none of it is for me. I'm really just here for you. And I didn't grow up with that belief from my mom's side, because my mom's side of the family, they're very headstrong women. You know, they might be in toxic relationships, but they don't believe their whole existence and their only sole purpose in life is to serve a man. They don't believe that. And then my father's side, when I live with my grandmother, you know, she was pretty strong. She kind of vocalized herself. And then even the church that I grew up in, which was Seventh-day Adventist, they didn't even believe that the woman, well, where I went, they didn't believe that the woman's whole life and purpose was just to serve her husband. So this mindset came when I went into non-denominational Christianity and got around people with a certain way of thinking about women and marriage. And so we're just around these people who have this philosophy about life, and it feeds what my husband thinks. It feeds his background. It feeds his understanding of women and marriage. And it didn't agree with my spirit, but I thought something was wrong with me for thinking so differently than the people that we were around. And so I come back from leaving, excuse me. I come back from leaving him, I guess, like kind of my way, like trying to take the cheat way out, like we're going to take a break type thing. But I hadn't agreed or accepted separation, like in my thinking. I was moving myself physically, but not mentally and emotionally. I was like, you know? So when I come back, we make up, you know, all of that is that short absence of missing each other. You have this fleshly connection. You have this physical thing, desire and all of that. But the problems are still there. I don't feel loved. I don't feel heard. I don't feel validated. I'm not happy. And then people are like, well, this marriage is not about happiness. It's not about you feeling this and that. It's about serving. That's it. Serve his needs. And I'm like, man, the Most High could not have made something so wonderful for me to suffer through. Like, this is not adding up. There's so much pleasure, you know, when you're physically intimate with someone, but that's the only pleasure we're supposed to experience in marriage is physical intimacy. That's it. That's it. It's only isolated to a physical intimacy. I was like, that can't be. But nobody's really saying anything to me different. So when that wears off, we're right back in the same boat that we never left. The same problems, the same issue. I'm crying out again to the Most High. I don't know how much more of this I could take. I really love this man. I don't want to leave him. And the Most High communicates to me again. You're going to have to let it go. If you want to feel better, you're going to have to let it go. Now, mind you, thinking back on my childhood and how your childhood is connected to your adult relationships. If you've healed things in your childhood, you're going to experience healthier relationships in your adulthood. If you have unresolved issues in your childhood, that's going to affect your relationships unhealthily. It's just going to be a problem. So when I look back, I'm a fatherless daughter whose father wasn't there. I would see him sometimes. I knew who he was. He would come around, but he was a drug addict and he was emotionally and mentally abusive to me. So this is my first relationship with a man. As time goes by, that's healed, but only to a certain extent. So when I get married, the parts that I thought were healed, I find in marriage, which if you're married, you will find everything you thought you had healed will show up. So these things are showing up and I'm being reminded of how much I had made an idol out of marriage and having a husband. Like, one of my dreams, way before being a writer, publishing my book, before I published anything, was I want to be a wife. That was my dream. I want to be a wife and I want to be a mom. Then I want to publish books and I want to, you know, other things that I want to do. But I didn't know that my dream was an idol until I was in my marriage, idolizing my husband and idolizing my marriage. So our problems are happening. They back. They ain't going nowhere. And because he doesn't leave me with physical bruises, because he doesn't leave me with physical blood, I'm not realizing that I'm really much worse off than I actually think I am. Because the emotional wounds are destroying me. It's just destructive. But he don't cheat on me, you know, outside of the porn addiction earlier on. He is doing his best to provide. He is doing his best financially to take care of us. He's under a lot of pressure. Considering what he's come from and what he's used to, he's doing a better job than what statistics say he should be doing. And for a long time, that held me over. He's doing the best he knows how to do. That for a long time, that held me over until it didn't anymore. So now I'm back on my knees crying to Yah about what to do. And he reminds me of what he told me to do last time that I didn't fully follow. Leave him. I'm like, Yah, I don't understand how that can help me. He makes all the money. I've been mainly the homemaker here. I do some stuff on the side, but the majority of the money comes from him. Where am I going? Number one. Number two, how am I getting on my feet when we have these children together and he's the provider? How am I going to take care of them, let alone myself, if I listen to what I believe you're saying? I don't get no answer. I don't get no answer after that. I heard really clear, leave him, but I don't get no answer about, well, how am I supposed to take care of things apart from him? So My husband leaves the house one day and I started plotting about leaving him because I just was like, it's like the quote goes, when a woman is fed up, there's nothing you could do about it. So I have been trying. I have been giving him, you know, chances and time, but you know, he's around people who don't really encourage him to love me well. You know, it's more like you the head, you in control, you're, you know, whatever you say goes and that's it type thing. So nobody's really encouraging him in a way where even if I do listen to y'all, I believe this is gonna be a fruitful choice. But things are just getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm looking at my children and I'm like, yo, there are cycles that we can't break with you thinking the way you think. There are things that I need to do that I know I'm called to do that I can't fully do with you this way because my energy is consumed with you. So it comes to the end of the rope. And so the next time he leaves, I said, okay, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to, when he leaves the house, I know he's going to be gone for a few hours. I'm going to get things together. I'm going to go. So he doesn't even notice that I'm packing stuff up in a certain way so that when I do leave, I can leave swiftly with all of our things. So a few days goes by and I'm like a deep cleaner. I clean all the time. So he thinks that I'm just cleaning up for the most part. If he was really paying attention, he would have seen this is not just cleaning up. So each day I'm kind of like putting stuff together. I'm kind of gathering it in a certain way so that when I know he's going to be gone for a while, I can drop him off to where he's going, take the vehicle, load the stuff up, and then he's just going to have to figure out how he's going to get back himself because I'm taking the car and our stuff and our children. So finally, I get to a place where I feel like when he goes, I can get things gathered and I can go. So I call someone and I ask them if I can come to their home for a little bit. I didn't know what to do after that. I was just trying to obey what I had believed the Most High had told me to do, even though no other person told me to do this. Anybody I would have talked to or asked would have been like, no, that is not the Most High telling you to do that. That is the devil. That is a lie. That is the enemy. But I knew it was Yah. I knew it was. And I was like slowly dying inside. So, I tell him I'm going to drop him off where he needed to go. He's not even noticing the signs in the home. This is how disconnected we are. I drop him off. I come back. I load up the car with our belongings. I tell our children we're going on a little road trip and we won't see daddy for a little bit. I don't know what I'm going to do after I make it to this other home. I'm just trying to just follow the step this time. So we drive, we get in the car, and not even 20 miles out, it's late at night, I get a flat tire. So now I'm like, this is a sign that I heard the Most High wrong. Now he's trying to stop me and punish me for leaving my husband. I pull over. I put air in the tire because there's nowhere to go get the tire plugged or fixed because it's late. I get back on the road. I have like 3 hours to drive. I get like every hour I get, the tire goes out again and I have to put more air in there. So my children are in the back. In their sleep, and I'm crying because something in me is like, you can't turn around. You have to keep going. Don't turn around and go back. Keep going. But the tire keeps getting a flat and I have to keep putting air in it. So that's messing with me. That's making me feel like I heard the Most High wrong. This is not, that wasn't him. I made a mistake. Now you look dumb. Cause if you have to go back, you know, he's going to be like, look, you tried to leave and you couldn't even leave. So I make it to the destination 3 hours away. And then my phone starts blowing up because I had created a graphic of our vow renewal, our 10-year vow renewal. And I made a heartbreak crack in the middle of us. And the song that I had been listening to was playing. And I put it on a loop for like hours so that by the time he came home, he would hear that loop and see that picture. So my phone's blowing up. So I know he's seen it and he heard it because he needed me to come and pick him back up, but I was ignoring his call. And then some time went by and I'm like, okay, he probably made it back to the house and he must have seen it. I'm scared to pick up the phone because I don't know what to say. I'm like, I've communicated to you what my needs are, but you're not hearing them. So I don't know what else there is to say about us, but I know I need to be away from you because when I've asked the Most High, what do I do to get free from this pain, just losing myself, I'm hearing, leave him. I am so torn because every doctrine that I have heard does not support women in that way. Every counselor that we had went to prior to me making this decision was like, submit better, love him better, meet his needs more, be more sexual, be more physical. Nobody ever really asked like what I needed. It just catered to what he needed. And so I was incredibly torn because I'm like, this is not the typical response you would get when it comes to marriage. Leave him, number one. Number two, the tire keeps busting as I'm trying to leave. Three, I have children who don't fully understand what's going on. So I get to the destination, the phone is blowing up, and he asks me, like, what's up? Where are you at? You know, like, what are you doing? What is this on the TV? Where's all the stuff? Why is everything gone in the house? Where's the children? Where are you at? What is this? Like, what is this kind of, some kind of game you're playing? And that hurt me because I'm like, you think it's a game? Like, it's not a game. Like, I'm not playing. I keep trying to communicate to you, bruh. We have a problem. We have a problem. I keep considering you. I keep considering your trauma. I keep considering what you need. I keep considering you to the point where I done considered myself all the way out. I've become inconsiderate of me so that I can consider you. When is there going to be some reciprocity? When are you going to be able to consider me? You don't even got to consider me the way I consider you. But when are you just going to consider me more? He's too irate and angry to even hear me. Because one, it's like you just took all the stuff out the house. You didn't pick me back up. I had to figure out a way back. And now you're telling me you're going and you won't tell me where you are. And you have my children. So now I'm like kind of scared because I'm just like, I don't ever want to take your children from you. But this is just something like I have to do right now. They don't understand what's going on. I don't know what I'm going to do after this. I'm not thinking that far ahead because the Most High is not giving me the steps that far ahead. I'm just listening one step at a time. So some time goes by and he's still really angry, but we talk on the phone and I just expressed like what it was for me. And it didn't go the way I thought it would. I thought when I left, he would have this enlightening and then we could just be back together and I could just be back home. And I thought, and y'all telling me to leave him, that would fix it. Cause my request was, what can I do to like, what will fix this issue? So we're still arguing. We still not seeing eye to eye. He's really angry and hurt at the way that I've left. And I'm really angry and hurt because I don't want to do it, but I know I have to. So I hang up with him and I'm just kind of like trying to hear from y'all, like, why didn't it work? Like, he's just angrier. It hasn't humbled him. It hasn't brought him to himself. It hasn't made him see the things that I've been saying. It didn't work. And the Most High is like, boo boo, it been like 3 days. Number one. Number two, I have you over here away from him because I haven't been able to get to your heart because he's been in my place. And so I'm like, oh snap. I made an idol out of my husband and my marriage. Society, religion often teaches us to make an idol, especially for women, maybe not for men, but especially for women, has almost brainwashed us to make an idol out of our husband and our marriage. So I didn't even fully realize what I was doing. And it was only Yah who told me, leave him so I can show you. So I'm with Yah. I love this man, y'all. Like, I have loved this man from the day I saw him. I felt it wasn't true love. You know, you grow in the love. There's levels to it. But when I saw him, I knew he was it. Like, he knew I was it. We both knew, right? I love this man. I don't want to leave this man. But the Most High, as I'm separated and I've left my husband, is showing me. I didn't tell you, I'm not asking you to let go completely. I just want to know if you're willing. I just want to know if you're willing. And I was like, you know what? I've wanted to be married for so long. You know, I've come from a broken home. I didn't see my mother and my father together. I didn't have my father. I just wanted to be together with him, even if it's killing me, for the sake of being together. And the Most High was like, you're crying to me all the time. You're pouring your heart out to me, asking me to help you, to heal you. And I can't if you have that mindset about him. You have lost yourself. When I went into the relationship, I didn't go into it like that. But that's why we got to be careful about the company we keep. Because the wise hang with the wise. And if you don't, you suffer for it. So we're around people with this same exact mindset. And it was only Yah who said, you have so much value. I have called you to something too. But all you can do is focus on him. You have placed him in my position. He's in my spot. I'm a jealous Most High. He got to get out my spot. He got to get out of my spot. Me and you were so close before him. I allow y'all to meet. You all consumed in your love, and that's cool because I made love. But never did I ever intend for him to take my place. And that is what you've allowed, Zara. And that is why you're going through what you're going through, because you don't love yourself. You don't value yourself enough to set appropriate boundaries that cause him to be accountable to the worth that you know you had before you made him your idol. So I'm just like, okay, I'm trying to get this together, like within myself, you know. The person that I'm staying with the children, she's getting a little antsy. She don't really want us there no more. I got all the stuff, you know, in the trunk and in the back seats. And then I got the children in the car, and I'm just like, man, this is very uncomfortable. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what, y'all? Nobody reminded me of my worth. Nobody reminded me of taking care of myself. And I went to everybody that I could think of to get help with this situation with my marriage. And you were the only one who told me a solution, which was totally opposite of what anybody would tell me. Nobody would have ever told me that. So for those of you who are listening, what if the Most High is not telling you to leave, but he's saying you have to be willing to? I'll say it again. What if the Most High is not telling you to leave? He's just saying you have to be willing to. Anything we hold on so tight that we're like, I will never let this go, we have made an idol out of it. I will never let this go. We have made an idol out of it. Because if the Most High asks you to let it go, you need to let it go. And it won't always be permanent. Sometimes it'll be temporary. Like the story I'm sharing with you now turned out to be temporary. And I didn't see no changes in my husband right then and there. But after I was willing to let him go and I was willing to leave, just having a heart that was willing to leave instead of, I will never leave my husband. My whole life is about him. My whole life surrounds about him. I can't do it without him. These are things we say about Yah, not man. I can't do it without him. Are you serious, Zara? You can't live life without him? I'm the only one you should be saying that about. So I wanted to read a scripture from Matthew 10:39, the Amplified version. And I think when we hear about this scripture, we think about it in so many other ways apart from emotional wellness and the care of our own personal souls, like our own selves. And in Matthew 10:39, the Amplified version says, whoever finds his life in this world will eventually lose it, excuse me, through death. And whoever loses his life in this world for my sake, will find it. That is life with me for all eternity. How many of us are trying to find life in this world, in our marriage, in our husband? And I'm not saying that these people sometimes are like, oh my gosh, Zara, you're promoting divorce. No, I'm not promoting divorce. I'm promoting wellness. If you're in your marriage, but you're unhealthy, then your marriage doesn't mean a thing. This is not, I'm speaking this from somebody that was in it, in that way of thinking, came out of it, and has been blessed in her life and in her marriage by it. I'm not just talking off the top of some textbook, okay? Whoever finds his life in this world will eventually lose it. If we find life in a relationship, I can't live life without you. I can't live life without, did you hear that? Life without, I can't live life without you. We see, right, whoever finds his life in this world will lose it. We are not to find life in a husband or a spouse or a child or any relationship for that matter, in a job, in a calling, in a purpose, in a ministry, in nothing. Nothing else. If we find that we have adopted a mindset that I can't do it without you, we have made an idol out of a thing, and we have found our life in the very thing that's going to cause us to lose our life. The Most High says, I am a jealous God. I don't want nobody in my place with those who belong to me. I've heard some men teach, oh, the husband is the woman's God. She learns Yah through him. No, boo. See, you ain't about to get me with that one, because I had a relationship with the Most High before I got married. That's how I knew and was had to be quickened and reminded of what are you doing, boo? We had me and you, Zara, we had a relationship before him. I healed you. I restored you. I cleaned you up. I give you this love, and then you lose your first love, which is me. And now it's all about Ishan. And then you're crying to me about how to change this. And you don't see that you've made an idol out of him. And this is where a lot of the change that won't happen for you, this is why. Because until you understand your worth and your value through me in the life I have given you in me, you will not be able to walk in the worth and the value that commands a certain accountability. You won't be able to do it. Whoever finds his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. Whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. Life with me for eternity. Are we willing to lose what we feel like we can't live without? One thing about my last video, where I talked about the three miscarriages, one thing about losing those babies, ironically, is seeing the love of Yah. And it's like, what? How are you going to see the love of Yah through that? Now, listen, when that first happened, I wasn't seeing all of that. But if anything, any life is more important than Yah, or if any life can separate you and the Most High Yah, if any life can come in between y'all two, you have made an idol out of it. That is your God. That is your God. So sometimes when we're in relationships with really unhealthy people, but we're not willing to let them go, that is usually an indicator that we've made an idol out of them. And if we truly belong to the Most High, now, if you don't belong to him, then that's a different story for you. But if you belong to him and he says, you won't be plucked out of my hand, you mine, then that means he literally gets jealous when you let somebody be in his spot. But see, we've been so brainwashed to believe it's not idol worship, it's love. It's not idol worship, it's covenant. It's not idol worship, it's respect and honor. It's not idol worship, it's marriage. When is idol worship? Like, sometimes we think idol worship is just some random god out there. Money or, you know, something else. And it goes right over our head that I just made a God out of this person. People are important. Relationships are important. We need one another to a degree, but there is no one that we need more than the Most High. No one. So sometimes if you're in an unhealthy relationship, especially a marriage, and you hear the Most High telling you to leave or to put distance between you two or to put separation between you two, some people get so freaked out, they trip And they're like, that's a whole lie from the pit of hell. I will never separate from my heart. Sometimes you need to be separated from the thing you're idolizing to get your priorities straight again so that you can then come back together and do it the right way. Sometimes, especially if that person is toxic, you need to allow that person to see you're not my God no more. I can leave you. Especially some husbands, they know you won't leave them. And that's why they keep doing what they're doing to you. They know you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. Where you going? They know you've made them a God. So sometimes there's a separation that is healthy. You know, all separation is not unhealthy. Some separation is life-saving. Some separation is marriage-saving. Some separation is friendship-saving. Some separation is really necessary and really helpful. But we've been so indoctrinated to believe that marriage and spouses are so important that your emotional wellness doesn't matter as long as you stay married. But if marriage is supposed to glorify the Most High and there is no glory that we can witness in your marriage, then your marriage doesn't matter. Then your marriage is pointless. Because the point of marriage is not to just make babies. The point of marriage is not to just be able to have sex. The point of marriage is for people to witness the glory of Yah through love of a man and a woman overflowing from their union. If we don't see that, something's wrong in your marriage. If you're putting on a show, if you're putting on a mask, if you're pretending that that's happening in your marriage, but it's really not, you are doing a disservice to the Most High. We're doing a disservice to the Most High. So if you're in a toxic relationship, especially with a spouse, and one of the things about like leaving religion is a lot of people think I'm a Black Hebrew Israelite and all these titles, and I'm none of that. I love Yah. I found out what his name is. I believe in the Messiah. I love the Holy Spirit. I'm none of that stuff. I don't believe I have to dress a certain way to be accepted by Yah. I don't believe I have to keep certain feast days in order to enter into Yah's presence. I don't believe I have to talk and use certain Hebrew words in order to be legitimate in the sight. I don't believe none of that. I don't believe none of that. I have a real relationship with the Most High Yah, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. As He grows me, I'm gonna grow, and you're gonna see the growth. But I don't dictate that growth. I let Yah do that part. That's not my part. Wherever He want to take me, however He wants to do that, I'm going to go with Him in that way. But nobody's going to force me. Nobody's going to dominate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to look, how to talk, how to act, how to dress. I'm not doing that. But I've come across so many women. Oh, it breaks my heart. I was looking at a video I did the other day. And I was like, I had one of these on, but it was yellow. It's in my intro for my timer. And I was like going like this. I had just talked to someone whose husband had beat her. That's why I was so emotional in that live. And I had a live to do, but earlier in that day, somewhere around that time, I had a session. And I was thinking about the woman who had came into this awakening, right? You know, and all this Hebrew stuff she was doing, and the husband had convinced her that he's allowed to beat her because she's his property. She's his property. So I was thinking about her, how he had beat her, and how I couldn't even get through to her, how I couldn't even communicate to her, because she was like, he's showing me scripture that proves why he's allowed to beat me. I can't even contend with that. I'm trying to show you scripture too, but it was nothing I can do. Then there was another woman around that same time who came to me. Her and her husband had left Christianity, and she was coming into this understanding, right? You see Yah on the back, and so people assume things about me. and they think I live the way they live, and I'm no, I no. So she reached out and she was telling me that the husband, they had loved Christianity. They were going into this Hebrew Israelite understanding, and now he wanted to have multiple wives. And she was on the brink of being suicidal, to be honest, because she's like, I do not want to bring another woman in my home. But he's showing me scripturally how this is legal and how this is not a sin and how this is okay because he has enough finances to provide for more than one woman. And she didn't know what to do. And she's like, why did I get into this understanding to just have to share my husband with another woman? Destroyed. I was thinking about her. Then I was thinking about another person who was basically like, y'all, I'm telling y'all, y'all don't know the stuff, the stories that I hear sometimes behind the scene. I get up on these, sometimes I be so emotional because I'm thinking about these women. And I remember talking to y'all about a lot of this. Like, you know what? Sometimes I really wish I never said that I love Christianity and I would have just left it and just didn't explain myself. But I felt like I needed to explain it because my audience was primarily Christian based back then. So I didn't want to just change and they didn't understand what the change was. And now my content is changing. Some of the things I'm talking about is changing. A lot of the doctrine in Christianity, I don't believe anymore. So it's like, what is she talking about? So I had to communicate that to my audience, right? But there was a time where I was just like, I wish I didn't do that. Cause now all these people are coming over here from this other side that I never said that I was. I'm like, they're assuming that I'm this, but I'm not that. You know what I'm saying? And all these women were just like flocking to me with these questions about, you know, he's saying I can't do this. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you because I don't believe that. I don't live that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all of this stuff, all these laws and these, this feast and this, I'm like, I don't subscribe to that, y'all. So I'm like, I'm talking to y'all. Like, I don't know what to do with these people. I'm like, maybe I should have just never said anything. Cause it was at one point it was heartbreaking because these people are coming to me with this scriptural proof for their husbands to have multiple wives, to beat them, to cheat on them. Some men were using language like I can put her away, like she a dog, like she's an animal. And I'm like, I don't subscribe to none of that. I don't even know why they're here. You know, my husband looks a certain way and then people assume stuff if he wears certain things or he says certain things and people just assume. I've never said that I believe these certain things, but they just assume. So for a while, there was this huge shift in my audience and I didn't know what to do with it. And I thought this was a mistake. And then the Most High had to show me, no, it's not a mistake. There's so many, we all need healing, but there's so many women in very abusive relationships who have left a certain understanding. They went into a different understanding and they're really being abused spiritually, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, in every way you can imagine, Zara. So what you're saying is necessary. You don't have to worry about disputing all these things that they have. Just continue to talk about what you're talking about. And they're going to find you because of certain shifts that you have made in your own life. And I had to let it go and be like, you know what, y'all, I'm going to just be who I am and you can deal with the results. You know, like some people think I'm a little bit too stern or they're like, I wish you were softer, boo-boo. I'm not designed that way. I've been through too much to be that soft. Like I'm Coach Zara. A coach ain't soft. Right. And I could counsel. And if I'm counseling someone through a certain type of life situation that requires a softness, I can have that. But And the Most High designed me that way for a reason, because what he's given me is I have to be the way that I am. So I say all that to say that there's so many women, and this is religion, period. You know, women are just look down in religion, period. Through history, they've been treated like property, like just there for sexual needs and pleasure and reproducing children and all that stuff like that. But when you look at the Messiah and how the Messiah treated women, what he said to them, how he dealt with them, this is the example and this is the model of Yah, not religion. So fast forward, that happened. We were separated. The Most High, this is something I had known, you know, like not to idolize a person, but I had... the scripture talks about like how easily we can sometimes be deceived. Like you could just be deceived and not even know it. I had slipped right into this understanding and had deceived myself into thinking I was just trying to make my marriage work. And y'all was like, no, you have made an idol out of it, of your marriage and your husband. These are two different things, right? A person, which is my husband, but then a relationship, a covenant, which is the marital union. I had made an idol out of both. So you can make an idol out of marriage and try to stay married by any means necessary, even if you're killing yourself, and not make them necessarily make an idol out of your husband. Like you kind of treat him like trash. You don't really care. You know, you want the look of him and y'all together because you're idolizing the union. Or you can idolize the person where you're just desperate for them. You know, you're always trying to like be in their face. You think you can't get nobody else. You can't get nothing better. This is your end all be all. And now you made an idol out of that person. You can't even hear Yah. You hear his voice before you hear the Most High Yah, the Most High Yah's voice. Terrible when you make idol out of both. And that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. And I didn't come into it that way, but I had slipped into it because of the company I was keeping, because I wasn't really holding my husband accountable to my needs and what was important to me. I was a little scared to speak up to him because I didn't want him to be angry, or I didn't want him to reject me. And, you know, I didn't want him to maybe leave me, you know, like if I say something and it just makes you mad and then you leave me, you know, then what? And so the Most High had to kind of like shake me up and wake me up. Like, look at what you're doing, Zara. Like, look at what you're doing. So fast forward, the person that I was staying with got tired of me staying there. So I had to end up going back home, and I went back home, but I still had a boundary of separation in my heart with my husband. And I had communicated that to him. Like, I don't really want to get close to you. I'm not letting you in right now. Emotionally, we can work together to do what we need to do for the children. I will respect you. I will still give you a certain type of honor just because you're my husband, but I don't want to give you access to me sexually right now. And I don't want to give access to you emotionally or even spiritually right now, because I don't believe you can handle me well. I think there are some things you need to get together in your life so that you can love me better. And, some people had an issue with that. You know, it was like, you know, that's just mean, or, you know, that you're doing too much, whatever. I'm doing so much, but look at us now. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at us now. So I left my husband, and when we reconnected, I remained separated from him from an emotional standpoint until some things had changed. And that really helped bring him to a change. The Most High used me knowing my worth to heal things in him. So I just wanted to share that story with you. And again, say sometimes the Most High is not telling you to leave indefinitely. He's just wanting to know if you're willing to, because if you're not willing to let go, you made an idol out of someone. Yah is a jealous father, and he doesn't want nobody in his place where you're so consumed with that person that you can't hear Yah clearly about what he wants you to do. You have your own relationship with the Most High, and you don't have your relationship with the Most High through a man, through a husband. You have a direct access relationship with the Most High, because some people teach that. I've heard and talked to some people who are like, no, my relationship with Yah is through my husband. If you want to believe that, fine, but we don't believe that over here. I don't have to go through my husband to talk to Yah. He's not my savior. So I just wanted to share that with you because I don't want us to be so desperate for what we think is love that we're losing ourselves. We're losing our purpose. We're losing our calling. We're not loving ourselves. We have lost our sense of worth. We have lost our sense of purpose, and we have wrapped it all up in a human being. A human being. All right, I'm gonna read some comments and then I'm gonna get out of here. Tanya Estine, the title is just clickbait, right? Because I got worried. I hope you watched it. It wasn't clickbait. I did really leave my husband. That was a true story. I actually left him three times. One time was just for a day. The other time was for a couple weeks. And then the other time was we separated and we lived in different rooms for a little bit. So I have separated from my husband more than one time, and it has blessed our marriage and it has blessed my husband. And it was not comfortable. I thought I was doing something wrong. I felt guilty. I felt shame about it. Cause you're so programmed to think this is not the way people come to Yah. Nobody says that. But there is such a thing as a healthy separation, especially when someone has become so unhealthy for you or you've made an idol out of them. So yeah, it is definitely was true. Peace, Regine. She's like, what you saying about? Shamayim Yashahala. My story is similar. Everything went crazy. Ended up in court. I went against the court order, and things I didn't want to happen happened. I'm still going through the after effects in some ways. I hope the Most High will continue to be with you and help you. I feel my heart goes out to women because, you know, it's not that men don't need love too, because they do. It's just that sometimes men are so programmed to abuse the very woman who can love them to life that we can't love them. They won't allow us to. And so we end up breaking our own selves and abusing ourselves trying to love them. And we lose out like that a lot. And then there's often nowhere to turn, and there's not really support for the choice that you've made to separate and have a healthy separation. So I hope the Most High will help you through it, and that you'll be able to experience some stability soon. Cause it's not easy separating. It's not something like you want to do. You do it because you feel like you don't have. I'm talking about healthy separation, not unhealthy separation. But you do it because you're like, I feel like there's nothing else could make this better. And it seems strange that separation could make this better, but you know, but some people won't even do that. Some people know this ain't getting better no other way. And they think I can't quote unquote live without you. And we just talked about, you know, Matthew 10:39, whoever finds life in this world will lose it. I can't live without you. That's putting life in this world and something else other than Yah. Fifth Prince. That's wild because I'm literally going through that as we speak because I realize the idols I created. Yah willing, he will give me strength to continue. Yeah, we can make idols out of spouses, friendships, you know, all kind of stuff. And we don't even see it. But it's good when Yah reveals it to you. And it's also something to be mindful of, is to make sure that we don't punish the person that we made an idol out of. Like, you made an idol out of someone and you're punishing them because you made an idol out of them. We have to be careful because it's something in my heart that caused me to make an idol out of you. You know what I'm saying? So even if the other person, like say a spouse is kind of convincing you, like your relationship with Yah is through me, or they're controlling you, or they're really dominant. Yes, they have a hand in you maybe coming to the place of making an idol out of someone. But at the end of the day, that's your decision that you made. So we need to be careful, especially in marriage, when we come to a realization like, whoa, I have put you before Yah, or I have put you in Yah's place, to not now be so angry with the person as opposed to dealing with what caused me to make this decision and what caused me to place you the way I've placed you. Because if you don't check it, you'll do it again with somebody else, you know? Peace, Paul Ray. Peace, Stephanie Grace. Thank you. It's so confusing. I'm staying by a friend right now who is clearly not pleased with me here because of my lifestyle. I know I'm not hopeless because I have Yah, but the feelings are not nice. I don't like it. Yeah, I was talking about this in one of Healing Pain with Proverbs, one of the verses I talked about, and it was saying how I was saying, it talks about how a wife, a contentious wife, is like a continual dripping or something like that. And at first in that book of Proverbs, that chapter of Proverbs that we were reading, it was talking about how the man had went to the rooftop to like kind of get away from her. And then as we graduated into the verses, it talked about, I think something about how he went to a desert, right? And in that Healing Pain with Proverbs series, I was trying to illustrate like, sometimes separation is really necessary because of the contentious person that you're dealing with. Excuse me. And then some people believe that separation, because it's a healthy choice, that it's also going to be comfortable. No, sometimes really healthy choices that are really good for us are also very, very uncomfortable. Like when I made that choice and I left my husband and the tire kept going out, and he's the one who knows how to change the tire. I don't know how to do this. He's the one that takes care of all that kind of stuff. I don't even know like what I'm doing. Somebody had to show me how to put the air in the tire. And then once I got it, I was able to do it. But it was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. We just need to really be conscious that good choices can also be very uncomfortable. And that doesn't mean that it's not a good choice because it's uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. So, yeah. Latasha Turk, that separation though was so, so needed for me. Yeah, sometimes this is very necessary. Some separation is sanctification. Yeah, some separation purifies us. It cleanses us. It sobers us up. It helps us see clearer. Yeah. Yeah. BC, thank you, Zara. This is so timely. Peace, BC. Thank you for joining us. Shaquille Russ, thank you for this message. I really need this video. I did not realize I had made my girlfriend into the idol. I need to allow y'all to heal me during my separation. Yeah, we don't even realize it a lot of times. It just happens. It's so subtle. Kayeem Rogers, men abuse so they can prove their manhood through religion. Yeah, I think a lot of abusers hide in religion. I absolutely believe that, and I see that, and I've talked to many women, especially now. I have seen more abuse than I have in my entire life of helping people since I left religion, and certain people who think I'm a Hebrew, whatever they think I am, come over here and I talk to them. I have never seen the amount of emotional and spiritual abuse in my entire life. And these men are hiding behind religion. They're hiding behind an awakening. They're hiding behind laws. They're hiding behind all this stuff. And at the end of the day, you're just an abuser. It's so sick. It's so sick. Regine B, You are speaking the truth. Some separations are necessary. I'm so thankful for your life, your testimony. Sometimes I ask myself, why am I going through these trials? But hearing you speaking over, I think it's another one, and over confirms that these trials are important, not only for me, but for others too. Thank you for being so transparent. I would have never thought you and Eshawn went through this because... Y'all be so in love in your comments. I'm happy that you went through this to get to where you are right now. Yeah, that's my king. Ooh, I love that man. I love that man. Even when we were separated, I love him. I loved him. I never wanted to be away from him. I had to do it for me. I had to love myself enough. And me doing that for me, it healed him. I mean, he can tell you his story one day of how y'all used me holding him accountable and separating from him to help bring him where he is now. That's his side of the story. But, his side is totally different than my side. It was very uncomfortable. I'm sure it was uncomfortable for him too. But we never stopped loving each other ever. It's always been love. It's just like, you're not healthy for me. You know, like I love you. And sometimes, and we'll talk about this in Beware the Narcissist series, sometimes when there's covert abuse, which is a more subtle abuse, you have overt narcissism or abuse, you have covert narcissism or abuse. Overt is loud, it's in your face, it's boisterous, it's hitting, it's punching, it's physical evidence. Covert is not really physical evidence other than the person may be getting sick. Covert narcissism or abuse is very subtle. They're usually very charming people. They're really nice people. They will provide for you. They will protect you sometimes. They will help you sometimes. But there's still an abuse, a level of abuse going on that's really subtle. And it's so subtle that you don't even understand you're being abused. That's why people that are in covert situations will not know what happened until they experience the harm of it psychologically and emotionally. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize what I was in because he never laid a hand on me. So I didn't know he was abusing me. Yeah. It's crazy. Shelly, I petition that my separation becomes a blessing for my marriage. Thank you for sharing peace and blessings. I hope so too. There's so much that y'all can do when a woman demonstrates that she understands her value. Like, I love me so much. I know y'all loves me so much. I'm not going to allow you to treat me like this anymore. And you don't have to be cheating on me or hitting on me. You just don't love me well. I am emotionally wounded by how you invalidate me as a human. How you treat me second to you, like I'm subordinate to you. We are partners. I'm not underneath you in that sense. And when I am under you, it's because you're a covering of protection, not to dominate over me. And sometimes it's hard for men to learn that lesson apart from a woman who comes to understand her true value, separates. And if that love is real, you know, he'll come back. You know what I mean? But most men are so indoctrinated to believe what they're doing is right, they can't see themselves. But when you take that time to separate from your spouse and you're petitioning for him to come to understanding, some of the verbiage that the Most High had given me was that his eyes would be opened. His eyes would be opened. His eyes would be opened. Give him a new heart. Make him a new man. During that time of separation, the priority is a lot for us to heal from the damage that they've done. But as you graduate from that, then it needs to become, if you still want to be in that marriage, that y'all will perform a new being in him, that he will make him, really make him new. And it's possible because it happened in my marriage. My husband... People will probably never believe me because they don't know, you know, how he was behind closed doors. He never hit me. Well, my husband has put his hands on me once before. We'll talk about that another time. But he never cheated on me. And the time he has put his hands on me, I wasn't like bruised and bloody. And so you make excuses for people and stuff like that. But my husband, he's been through a lot. So a lot of what he was doing, he thought it wasn't so bad for me because he had seen so much worse. And so, a lot of men, they're trained to think what they're doing is okay. And it's only going to be the true love of a woman who knows her value to demonstrate this is really what love looks like and what you're doing is not it. So, yeah. Peace, Elise. This was great reinforcement. I have come to the realization that I have lost myself for the sake of caring for my family as a whole. But y'all is helping me back to him and myself. Oh, you bringing tears to my eyes. I'm not going to cry. Oh, that's so good to hear. So good to hear. So good to hear. Lady Prosperity. The pressure from family with the old school mindset that divorce is not an option makes you feel like a failure because you want to leave and a failure because it's not working. Yeah. I have a video on this where, you know, because my husband and I used to say that divorce is not an option. And I think we need to be careful saying that, right? Because what we did, not that everybody does this, is we would rehearse that and we would regurgitate that because that's what we were told could keep us from getting divorced if we claim divorce is not an option. But what happens sometimes is when you make that claim, but you don't make the claim to be well and love each other healthily, then what you're really saying is I will be married to you by any means necessary till death do us part, literally, even if you're the one who kills me. That's like kind of like what we're saying. And the reality is divorce is an option scripturally because it's in the scripture as an option to certain types of situations. And it's not just adultery. But that's for another video. Paul, I got worried by the title, but at the same time, I knew that there was a deeper meaning. Ultimately, this was an informative live, sis. Thank you. Yeah, some people are petitioning for my husband and I to be divorced. Some of them might have came in here on the low watching, hoping that what they have been speaking over us has happened. Yeah, definitely some people out there. But thank y'all. Regine, I know you love him and he loves you. I think you guys need a duo live and answer questions because I sure have a lot, like a couple live where husbands get to ask questions and wives too. We were doing that. I think I still have some schedule, but his schedule has been different and my husband doesn't really like to do lives like that. He does pre-recorded videos, but he don't really like to do lives that much. So he does them and he'll do them if I ask and kind of like can plan it out with him, but we were doing that. We might get back to it. Joanna King, this hits home in a different way. I put my husband above the Most High when we came into the truth. We had to separate, and it's been 10 months because we are in a mixed marriage, which is against the Bible. So have had to run the Most High because my husband was everything to me. Still trying to figure it out. I hope the Most High will help you come to an understanding and give you wisdom on that, and that you won't just listen to people and doctrine, but you will listen to the wisdom of Yah, because there's a lot of stuff out here that, like, when I look back, there are some things I've shared, I've taken it off of my channel. Some people that I've shared, I've taken it off of my channel. The stuff I couldn't take off, I have tried to like cut out certain things because some people are really on some stuff out here and they are really leading people astray. And it it hurts my whole heart. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's so many times the Most High has to remind me that burden is not yours. Like, literally, like, cause I will pick the burden up and I will be holding on to it. And I will be like, it got to be something I can do about this. And y'all will be like, that's not yours. That's not yours. Put it down. Justin Griffin. So true. I had and still am doing the work to stop emotionally abusing my wife. It is only by the Most High I see myself now. Praise y'all for a righteous wife. Where is your wifey at? Ooh, man. That is awesome to hear a man say what you're saying in this live. That you, first of all, to just confess that I have emotionally abused my wife. Listen, that is a huge step in itself, just to make that confession. And then also to say, I see myself now. And then to praise y'all for a righteous wife. I hope it ain't too late for you, bro. Cause sometimes it be too late. Like sometimes it's been times where I've said to my husband, you know, you about 5 seconds from it being too late for you. Like you about 5 seconds from fed up. Ain't nothing you could do about it. Ain't nothing I want to hear. And so I hope that it's not, you know, too late for you, whatever you've caused, whatever damage you've caused. And I hope that you'll come to a place where you can love her. Cause some people are like, well, it's her responsibility to heal too. Like, why am I responsible for her part of healing? Like, and I think sometimes that could be a very prideful response. And that's a person who hasn't really been humbled in their revelation. Cause when you damage someone, it takes time for them to recover from that damage. And a loving spouse is going to say, I am here to contribute to your healing. I know I cannot heal you myself, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I aid and nurture in what you need. And a man who's not willing to do that is a man whose wife isn't safe, whose heart is not safe in his hands until he can see it that way. So I hope that you know, that'll come to you. RH Collection. Peace. Please share what other options other than adultery permits divorce. I have a video on this. I forget what the name of it is, but I know I have a playlist called Submission and Abuse, and it's in one of those videos. Because I don't have time to do that right now. We already at 122. The most important thing is repentance and treat these women like queens. Yeah. All right, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me on this live. I hope that has been a blessing. Please share it with someone. If you want to know the next time I'm going to go live, please make sure that you look in the description. There's some really cool links in there. One of them is to get instant notifications about when I'm going to go live on Telegram. On YouTube through Telegram. I also want to take the time to thank a very, very special part of Truth Tribe, and that is Truth Tribe patrons who help me make free content, including videos, exercises, and resources just like this live you're watching right now. I truly appreciate your support, Truth Tribe patrons, and I'm sure those who benefit from your giving appreciate it too. If you're watching this video, the live or the playback, and it's true for you what I just said, can you please show it by liking and sharing this video? It could help someone else, and it doesn't cost you anything to give them that help. So please like it and share it. When you like it, it lets YouTube know you like it, and then it sends it out. When you share it, same thing, but then also your audience can see it. If you would like to support this channel, you can look at the link in the description, and you can go to zariharrison.com/support. Or you can buy something from my shop at zariharrison.com/shop. Your purchases go towards helping me continue on with Truth Tribe and everything that goes on behind the scenes, and, you know, being able to offer things to people that I don't always talk about, just out of their privacy and their protection of their personal life. But it does make a difference, and it does help people. Okay. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I forgot to say peace to Truth Tribe. Peace, Truth Tribe. If you are already a part of the tribe, if you're not a part of the tribe, thank you for joining me. If you got good energy and you can respect boundaries. And I hope that I'll see you again if you're one of those people who got good energy and you can respect boundaries. To everybody else that is a part of Truth Tribe, I'll see y'all next time. Peace.
They always told me love's supposed to suffer long. I looked it up in the lexicon and say that suffering actually means the act of being patient. Have I been patient with you? And who is to decide when long is long enough? And what do I do when I feel I've had enough? Is suffering the tolerance of every behavior?